sermon. Be seated. And I appreciate David and appreciate his leading us this morning and these great songs. And what a thrill it is to be able to be in the house of God. I remember a preacher asking that question one time, David, in a sermon. All of you that want to go to heaven, stand up. And everybody stood up but one little boy right down on the front seat. And the preacher looked at him and he said, "Son, don't you want to go to heaven?" He said, "Yes, but I thought you were getting a load ready to go right now." But anyway, I appreciate so much all of you that are here this morning. It is a great day. And even in the midst of all of the problems that go on in our country, we can still be blessed of God. It's easy for us to become negative in our thinking and failing to realize that God is in control and that God has a positive answer for all that we face. He does. You know, when we're faced with issues in life or problems, God is the one to whom we should look to this morning, not the world. For the book of Mark, the 9th chapter and verse 23 says that all things are possible with God. You know what the world needs today is a stable thought or stable thinking. It is true. We have so many unstable people in our world. It's a sad thing when we look in the world and we see all the evil and the corruption that takes place in our world. And sometimes it's easy for us to be a little dismal in life. But if we really want to find real hope, then we have to understand that it is Jesus who really brings hope into our world. He still does. He is the hope of life eternal. He is our hope this morning. I want you to think with me on this subject. God has a positive answer. Now, you know, many of us are negative, and in our thoughts, and even in what we say, we often say things that are negative, but God always responds with a positive. He does. Sometimes we look at life and we say, well, it's impossible. It is impossible to live my life as God wants me to live my life. But God says that all things are possible. All things are possible. It is true. And we need to always remember that. All things are possible. For in the book of Luke, the 18th chapter and verse 27, the Bible says, "The things which are impossible to men are often possible with God." Sometimes we view certain things and we look at it and we say, well, it's just impossible. There's no way this could ever happen. There's no way that things could ever get better in America. But I'm telling you that it can. And with God's help, we can accomplish great and mighty things. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, I'll tell you why that's true. Because the Bible says, where God spake unto Paul, that my grace is sufficient unto thee. It is still sufficient. And in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the word says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. I will tell you again that with God, all things are possible. Sometimes in the negative, we will say, well, I am too tired. You just don't understand, or God doesn't understand how tired I really am. Sure he does. And in Matthew 11 and verse 28, he said, I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. God is still in the business of giving rest to our souls. He gives us a personal invitation. We have one from Jesus our Lord. And he wants to provide relief from the stress that we face in our lives. He is the one who lifts the burden and helps us bear them. Now, we've all said it at times, whether we're talking about mentally in our mind, we're mentally tired, or whether we're talking about being physically tired, and we all get that way at times, or whether we're talking about being spiritually tired. We have to remember that the Word of God is the only thing that can give a cure to all of our ailments, whatever they are in life. We can never be too tired that God cannot give us rest. But how many of us have ever said, I can't figure things out? Sometimes in our rationale and in our ability to think and discern, we feel like sometimes that there's no way we can really work it out or we can figure it out. And God says that He will lead us. He will direct our steps. For in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says to trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. And lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. In Psalms 119, David said, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And in the Old Testament, Jeremiah said that it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We have to lean upon the light that comes from the eternal word of Almighty God. We will never be able to figure everything out in this world. There's so many things that happen in our life. We'll be able never to calculate and to be able to figure out all the problems that are going on in this world and why. Won't happen. But fourthly, how many times have you heard people say, I can't do it? We take a negative attitude sometimes with certain things and we say, well, I just can't do that. I just can't be faithful to God in everything. I can't live up to God's measurement, to His standard. I just can never really be that kind of person that God wants me to be. I'm telling you that God says, you can do all things. Now, if God says that, I believe it, folks. And in the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength or who strengthens me. One time in the book of Matthew 25, the Bible tells us of a story that ensues here where Jesus gives a parable concerning the kingdom of God. We've often referred to it as the parable of the talents. Where God gave, or a master gave, one man 5 talents, he gave another 2, and he gave another man 1. And obviously, the master of the house wanted those individuals to go out and use those talents in a wise way. The Bible tells us that the 5-talent man went out and gained 5 talents more. The 2-talent man went out and gained 2 talents more. But the 1-talent man, that 1-talent man did not. He was unprofitable. And his action said, I can't do it. How many times in our lives have we taken the position of this man and we have said, I can't do it? Paul didn't take such an attitude, but his attitude was a reflection of what was deeper inside his own heart. And he said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm telling you, folks, the problems that we face in today's world and the troubles that we encounter, you will never be able to face without the help of God. Can't do it. You must believe in yourself. Do you realize that God would have never, ever entrusted you with your ability if He didn't believe in you? Now, what God wants us to do at times is to believe in ourselves. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you a profitable servant or are you an unprofitable servant of God? Sometimes we get so dismal in life and all the problems and the adversity that we face every day, and there are many of them, we get up and we go to work, and there's one problem right after another. If it's not in our family, it's at school. If it's not at school, it's at the workplace. And if it's not at the workplace, it's among our friends. And if not there, then it's somewhere in the neighborhood. I'm telling you, and then we look back and we say, is life really worth it? Sometimes people take their own lives because they believe that life is not worth it. And when we take that position, God says, it will be worth it. We may not be able to see the worth and the value of it right now, but God says it will be worth it. For Romans 8 and verse 28 says, we know, Look at the assurance with which Paul writes. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose. Is something good about a gunman going into a school building and shooting down 20 young people and killing an additional 7 or 8 folk? No, that's not good. But I'm telling you, through all of it, God can bring good. And He does. God has a plan for each of us. You see, God is the potter, and you and I are the clay. We are. We're the clay. And God takes us and He molds us and He shapes us into His own image every day. Through all of those problems and difficulties that we face in life, it will be worth it, God says. Sometimes the circumstances of life say, why, it's not worth it. There is a guarantee, and I can tell you this morning from the Word of God, there is a guarantee from God that whatever challenge you are facing in your life, it will be worth it if you endure, that is, and be faithful to God until the end. There are numerous passages that attest to it. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, the apostle writes, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Now, how can we be blessed suffering for righteousness' sake? How in the name of heaven am I going to be blessed and happy through all of that? I'm telling you, folks, God can make it happen. Now, whether you believe it or not does not negate the fact that it is true. And then I read the book of 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, and the Bible says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify his Father who is in heaven in this matter. And in Revelation 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, to be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. In Romans 8 and verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not to be worthy to the not to be compared to the glory that God shall reveal in us. The circumstances may say it's not worth it. God says it is. We need to quit listening to the voices of the world and start listening to the voice of God. But number 7, sometimes we say, well, I'm just so worried and upset and so frustrated in life about all that is going on. Let me tell you, we all get frustrated. We all get anxious. We all get worried at times. And you know what God says to all of us in the depths of our worry and our anxiety? He says, cast your cares on me. And in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, Peter writes again and says, casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Isn't that a comforting thought? It is. That God cares for us. Does He care for you when you get sick? Does He care for you when you get cancer? Does He care for you when you have heart disease? Does He care for you when you have family problems? Does He care for you when you are in the throes of depression? Does He care for you through all of your problems? Absolutely. God never writes anybody off. Sometimes people feel that they've been written off. Sometimes people go through life searching for the answer and searching for hope. And sometimes they search in the wrong place and they never find it. In Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34, Jesus explains why we should not worry. Why, if He cares for the birds of the heaven, don't you know that He's going to care for you? And if He feeds them, don't you know that He'll take care of you? And if He can clothe that field out there and bring about those beautiful flowers that bloom in the spring and even in the fall, don't you know that God is going to array you? Why, the Bible says that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as one of these. We have to present our concerns unto God. We say sometimes, well, I'm just not smart enough. I'm just not smart enough. You know what? How much intelligence does a person need to realize that there is a supreme being who controls this universe? You know what? I believe that we are created with that innate, and I mean it, knowledge. God made you with a knowledge of Him. You are born with the knowledge of God. When you go to the book of Romans chapter 1, you'll understand that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. But they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. But God birthed you with the knowledge that He is alive, and that He is your heavenly Father. Oh, sure, there are things that we learn that better equip us to deal with that and to know it in a fuller way. But I believe there are certain laws that God has placed within our hearts when we come into this world. Man has always had the propensity to worship someone or something. That's why when they don't worship God, they worship idols. That's why when they don't worship Jehovah, they worship monuments made out of wood or stone or graven images. And that's why God says in the Ten Commandments, one of them, that you shall have no graven images before you, but that you are to honor the God. No other gods before you. We say, I'm not smart enough to figure it out. You know what God says? I'll give you wisdom. If you see a wise person, let me tell you something. They didn't get that by themselves. I hear people say sometimes of others, boy, they're just so wise. You know why they're wise? God gave it to them. Now, I'm not saying they didn't accumulate knowledge through their study, but I'm telling you, wisdom comes from God. In the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men and upbraideth not. That is, He does not chide you because you ask for it. And notice the latter part of this verse. And it shall be given him. It shall be given him. The wisdom that we seek. You see, knowledge is one thing. Wisdom is the application of the knowledge that we acquire. You can have all the knowledge in the world and be an educated fool. But when you have the knowledge and you ask God for wisdom to exercise that truth that you know, then God enables you to do it. And we call it wisdom. In the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 and Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Sometimes I look at life and I say, where is the wisdom that we have acquired through knowledge? And where is the wisdom that we have lost in our knowledge? Sometimes we begin to feel ourselves to be something that we are not. And sometimes we begin to feel ourselves to be so educated and so literate that we don't need God anymore. Let me tell you something. When a tragedy occurs in our country, it amazes me how spiritual and how back to God we want to get. But why does it take a tragedy to bring us home to our Father? The Bible says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are saved by it, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. You see, God's wisdom is different from the wisdom of the world. God's wisdom is from above, and it is unlike the wisdom of the world. I've seen some who were heralded by others as being men of wisdom, who were astute, that I consider to be only fools, because their wisdom is not predicated upon the Word of God. The decisions that they make are not founded upon truth, but their own intelligence. For 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." But true wisdom, listen to James 3 and verse 3. "Who is wise and understanding among you?" Now, he asked that question. Listen to it. And James even answers it. He says, "Let him show by good conduct," he says, "his works are done in meekness and in wisdom." When we say sometimes, "I'm not smart enough," sometimes I think God looks at us and said, "It's time to grow up." It is up to us to grow. For 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says that we're to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, he said, "As newborns, we ought to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby." Some people do not. Let me ask you a question this morning. How spiritually minded are you? Hebrews 5 verse 12 and following says, "For though by this little time you ought to be teachers, you need someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have become such to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of strength have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil." But last of all, sometimes we say, "Well, I feel all alone." You ever felt all alone? You know, there have been more songs written about loneliness probably than any other. Of course, the bottom line being love. They're craving love. But loneliness. When we say sometimes, and we feel in our hearts that we're all alone out there. We're on this big sea of life, and we're out there all by ourselves. And you know, when we say, "I am alone," God says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." For Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And Matthew 28 and verse 20, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And in James, the 4th chapter and verse 8, he says, "Draw near unto God and he will draw near unto you." Isn't that what the people up in Sandy Hook, in Newtown, Connecticut, are doing this morning? Drawing near unto God. Where else can you go? Where do you find a refuge in times of trouble and difficulty but to God? You'll never understand all the things that happen in life. We often say, "Why? Why? How could this happen in small town America?" Why? Better yet, how could a man by the name of Robbie Parker, who lost his young daughter Emily in that massacre, make the statement, "I'd like to live to offer our deepest condolences to all families who were directly involved and affected." He said, "It's a horrible tragedy, but our hearts go out to them, and this includes the family of the shooter. And I want you to know that our love and support go out to you as well. That family is not to be blamed. This man perpetrated an act on his own. He did. And what do you do? How do you support those families? Well, you comfort those survivors by hugging them and crying with them. For Romans 12 says that you weep with those that weep. And we do this morning. Our nation weeps when the lives of 20 young, innocent, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 12 young girls and 8 young boys died at the hands of an assassin. And 6 or 7 others trying to save the lives of those young children. Where do you turn? You know what? I have come to learn in life that no matter what, I can turn to God. And I realize that comfort comes from Him. The one who made heaven and earth. The one who blesses us each day. And we must trust Him. And we must not lean to our own understanding. But we must acknowledge Him. So when we look at life, we need to understand, even in the midst of all of the problems that go on, that God has a positive answer. And He says unto us, you make the call. You make the call. The Lord should be our rock. I hope He's yours. Because He purchased our freedom on the cross with the shed blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and He warrants our obedience and our submission unto Him. And the question this morning is, have you obeyed Him? And not only have you obeyed Him in past, but in present tense, are you obeying Him now? And in the future, will you obey Him? What does life hold for you? One thing through all of this we have learned is the uncertainty of life. No promise of tomorrow. James 4:14 says, your life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time. When those little children left home that morning and went off to school with an exuberant heart, bouncing into that classroom, ready today to learn something. Never to darken the doors of their home again. Never to see the face of their mother, their father, ever, ever again. You see, God gives us a gift. He does. Christmas is that time of gift giving. You see, God gives us a gift. And that gift is called salvation. It is. It's a gift that can belong to you as well as me. It's a gift that God has given to the world. It is the greatest gift that has ever been given. And I'm telling you, if you can give hope to someone by presenting them this gift of salvation through Christ, you have given them a gift above all others. Because this gift enables us to die to self and to be made alive in God. Those little children have gone to be with our God. For Jesus said, allow the little children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. Of heaven. We know where they are. You and I receive this gift of salvation through the act of what we call baptism. upon our acknowledgement of Christ as Savior and Lord and our penitent attitude and our desire to live for Him, then we're lowered in water, symbolic of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And when we're lowered in that water and raised out of that water, the Bible says that we experience a new birth that we read about in John 3, verse 3 through 5. And we become Christians and Christians only. We receive His gift in obeying Christ in baptism. And with the uncertainty of tomorrow, and with the uncertainty of the next day, and next year, and the years to come, should God allow you to live, are you ready to receive His gift now? Now. Do you think perhaps those parents might have said something a little different had they known it would be the last time they'd see their children? If you knew this was the last service that you would ever attend, and that God would call you home before you ever walk through the doors of this building again, would your decision change this morning? Would your future be different? That's a question we all have to answer within our own minds. And I hope this morning that you're a Christian. I honestly, sincerely do. Because I know that God is coming someday for us. Whether it's for me individually to die and give my spirit back to Him, or whether I will have the privilege and the glory of being able to witness Jesus burst the clouds of heaven and come for all of us. Hope that you'll be ready. If you're a Christian and you've strayed away from God this morning, would your decision that you'll make here be different if you knew this was the last one that you would make? Now, David's going to lead us in a song of encouragement and invitation here this morning. And I hope you reflect upon all that's been said this morning. And I hope you reflect upon the truth, and more especially, upon your destiny. Where will you be when life's over here? That's a real question. We know where the children are, but where will we be? Let us stand and let us sing.